The other day I was talking to a lady and told her that I preach for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ in Clarksville, Tennessee, and I was asking her where she attends a church service, and we were talking about that kind of thing, and she said, and I'm paraphrasing, "The Church of Christ, you're the ones that don't have instruments." And we talked about that a little bit. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about one thing that a lot of folks know about local churches of Christ, and that is the absence of instrumental music. If there's one thing they know, it's that churches of Christ do not have instruments of music. Now, there are some churches of Christ who do now have instruments of music, but the majority of them do not. And so I want to talk about the instrumental music question. Many misunderstand why we do not have instruments of music, and I hope that on the Let the Bible Speak program we'll take some time this morning to clarify that question and see what the New Testament teaches about the music that is authorized in worship to God. A lot of times people say, well, the Church of Christ doesn't believe in music, and that's just simply a misunderstanding. There's all kinds of music, and there are basically two kinds of music. Music that is made on an instrument, or music that is made with the voice singing, vocal music and instrumental music, but it's all music. But because we don't have instruments of music in our worship service, some people say, well, you don't believe in music. We very much do, friends, believe in music. Singing a cappella without instruments is very much music. A cappella is a Latin term meaning to the chapel or according to chapel form. In the early centuries in the chapel, music was singing. There was no instruments until the 7th or 8th century A.D. And so singing was what was found in the New Testament church. And for a few centuries after that, before man changed it, and singing is what is pleasing to God today without instruments of music. We want to be New Testament Christians, and we call upon you to do the same. We don't simply want a church that has man-made doctrines and practices. We want to be a church of Christ, belonging to Him and following His Word. So I hope this morning our study of the music question will be helpful to you. And what we're going to do is divide this up into three lessons. We'll take one this morning and then, Lord willing, in the 2 weeks to come. And this morning, we want to look at the case for singing in the New Testament. And then at a later time, we will look at arguments that are made from the Bible for instrumental music. And then, last of all, arguments that are made from human reasoning for instrumental music. But this morning we want to simply look at the biblical case for singing in the New Testament church. And as I said before, if there's one thing that people know about churches of Christ, it's the absence of instrumental music. So let's clear up this question if we can by turning to the Word of God and letting the Bible speak. All kinds of religious denominations act as if instrumental music has always been in their church. And that's simply not the case. I could quote a number of so-called church scholars and historians to the contrary. Instrumental music has not always been in the religious church service, even in different denominations. Like I said, they were first introduced from the 600 to 800 AD period of time. Long after the New Testament church was established, long after the New Testament itself. So, let's look at this question. And a lot of times, religious people will often ask, why don't you use an instrument? So, let's answer that from the Word of God. We must know what we believe on the subject, and we must know why we believe it. And there may be some among churches of Christ listening this morning, and you know that you don't have an instrument, but you may not know why. I hope that this lesson will be helpful as well. Whenever you're discussing any issue or question like this, I believe it's always good to begin by looking at what the issue is and what the issue is not. And if you'll clarify the issue at the very beginning, that helps to resolve the question along the way. And to define terms and to identify carefully the issue. First of all, the issue is not, do we believe in music? Of course we do. We absolutely believe in music. And the issue is not, do we use or like instruments of music outside the worship service? Of course we do. I have a piano in my home. My children play the piano. And I was in a band, and I play trombone, and I like band music. I like organs. My dad played the organ and the piano and the accordion and other instruments. We learned how to play musical instruments from my father. And I had brothers and sisters that grew up doing that. And so we very much believe in music. We practice and use mechanical instruments of music often outside the worship service. They're not a tool of the devil or anything like that. I attend concerts. I'll go to the Nashville Symphony or other types of things like that. And so we very much believe in music, even instrumental music. The issue is not, can we afford a mechanical instrument in the church building? Yes, we can. We have the money to buy a piano or an organ. We have the money to have a band if we wanted that. We have the musicians to play the mechanical instruments of music if we wanted to. We can find church members to play drums and a guitar and piano and organ and other things that you'll find in a church band. So we can afford the instruments. We have musicians to play the instruments. That's not the issue. The issue is not, are mechanical instruments of music and worship to God found in the Bible? Yes, they are. In the Old Testament, you'll find mechanical instruments of music found in worship to God under the old law. And hopefully in our next lesson, we will explore that even further, because people say, well, it's in the Bible. And yes, it is, but it's in the Old Testament, the covenant that we are no longer under. So we'll talk about that when we get to that. But yes, there are instruments of music and worship to God found in the Bible, in the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament, however. And the issue is not, are mechanical instruments of music themselves sinful? Well, of course they're not. A person can play an instrument of music and be right with God doing that. The issue is this. What kind of music is authorized by God? Vocal music. Number two, what kind of music is authorized by God in the New Testament for the New Testament church? Vocal music. And is instrumental music in worship to God sinful? We're talking about in worship to God. We're talking about in the New Testament church. See, that's narrowing down the issue. If we narrow it down to worship to God, yes, it's unauthorized and sinful. If we're talking about in the New Testament, for the New Testament church, it is nowhere found in the New Testament for the New Testament church. We're even going to see in our later lesson, Lord willing, that you'll find some instruments in the New Testament, but it's not in a worship service for the New Testament church. So we have to be very careful what verses we're reading and where we're reading them and in the context in which they are used. We can't just flip open our Bible and find a verse that has an instrument in it and say, hey, instruments in worship to God. We have to use our Bibles better than that. And we have to rightly divide the word and carefully use the word of God and not take passages out of context. So, what we find then is the issue is simply this. May we use instruments of music in worship to God in the New Testament church? And the answer is no. We don't have Bible authority for that. Now, we may do that in the sense of man gives permission to do all kinds of things. But when we say may, we mean by New Testament authority, may we do that. Not just simply church leaders deciding if we may do it, but is there New Testament authority for that? And the answer is no. I want to look this morning at the Bible passages that deal with music involving Christians in worship to God, and there are 9 of them. And let's see what we have with regard to this. Now, one of them is Jesus and his disciples before the New Testament church was started. These others, except for another one in the book of Hebrews, these others deal with the New Testament church. But what we find with regard to the New Testament and praising God, it's always singing. For example, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, after partaking of the Passover in the upper room and the institution of the Lord's Supper, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. Also Mark 14:26. And when they had sung a hymn, not played a hymn. Turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. Paul and Silas are in jail in Philippi. They've been unlawfully arrested and abused there. And instead of complaining and whining in jail like would be tempting to do, we find in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Singing hymns, not playing hymns. Turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. Paul writes, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore will I give praise unto thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. So sing praises, not play praises. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And Paul is talking in that context about a local church assembly. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, that's two Christians, Paul and Silas, outside of the local church assembly. So even by themselves, Christians by themselves, were singing praises to God, not playing on instruments. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, we have the context there of the local church assembly. And then turn with me to two very important passages, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians 5, 19. This is a very important passage because we're talking about what is being done in the church at Ephesus, and it's what is being done one to another, Christians one to another, so we're talking about in the assembly. And Paul writes in Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. And then Paul writes several phrases showing how one is to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking, singing, giving, and subjecting. And this is how being filled with the Spirit is carried out. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul writes, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Let's notice a few things here. First of all, Paul says, speaking one to another. So one to another, Christians doing it one to another. So this is in the assembly when they're gathered together, or when Christians are gathered together even outside the assembly, but it would certainly include that as well. Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we're clearly talking about praising God, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And they're to be speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. So we have singing and making melody. Notice that there's no playing here. Now, somebody says making melody. Well, wait a minute. That would be instrumental music, because you make melody on a piano or you make melody on an organ. No, read the rest of the verse. Making melody, what, Paul? With your heart to the Lord. So he explains what the instrument, if you will, really is, the instrument of the heart. And so all of these words, speaking, singing, and making melody, all of that involves verbal music. No instrumental music in Ephesians 5:19, and that's one passage where a lot of people turn to try to get instrumental music, including some now in churches of Christ who have started up instrumental music. They'll turn to Ephesians 5:19 and try to justify it. And another thing they do is they say that the word psalms there, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, psalms includes instruments. Well, psalms were sung with instruments in the Old Testament, but by New Testament times, even by the original definition, they were, as Paul says, spoken one to another. The instruments had dropped out of use because they were no longer authorized, no longer under the Old Testament, by which that Testament authorized instrumental music. So, Ephesians 5:19. Now turn with me to Colossians 3:16. And this is important because Ephesians and Colossians are very parallel. Paul wrote the same type of information to both Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, in Colossae, and we find in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. Making melody with your heart, Ephesians 5:19, is parallel to singing with grace in your hearts unto God, Colossians 3:16. So again, just like Ephesians 5:19, we have teaching, admonishing, singing. All of this is done with the mouth, with words. And so clearly, we're talking about singing. Singing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Not playing. Hebrews 2:12, quotation from the Old Testament, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. This is talking about Jesus, and the Hebrew writer quoting the Old Testament. It is not a New Testament congregational setting, but it is another New Testament passage that talks about praising God, and it's sing thy praise. Hebrews 13:15, through him, Christ, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. So praising God with our lips, not on an instrument. And then last of all, James 5:19, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise, not play praise. So these are nine New Testament passages. Now, what I'd like to observe about this fact is that these are all the passages on music in the New Testament, listen, with reference to worshiping God, and most of these nine passages deal with references to Christians worshiping God, and every example, without fail, forms a pattern, and it's singing. Singing. These are all the passages on music in the New Testament with reference to worshiping God. Now, in a later lesson, we'll look at a few passages where there's an instrument in the verse, but it's a completely different kind of context. It's not worshiping God. But with reference to worshiping God, and with reference to Christians in the church worshiping God, it's always singing, every example. And so what we observe is that we're told who is to sing. Christians. We're told what we're to sing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're told when and where to sing. We can do that outside the assembly, like Paul and Silas did. Or we can do that inside the assembly. We're told why we're to do that, to teach and admonish one another and to praise God. And we're told how. how we are to do that. Speaking and singing and making melody with our heart. And the how is very important. It is not done with an instrument. It is done with the voice. It is done with the heart. This is something that many people have probably never heard. They just take instrumental music for granted. They just go visit a church and just about everybody has instruments of music. It's just something that you assume and presume and just accept it because it's always been the case. And many people don't stop and think about, do I have New Testament authority for this very kind of thing? Did New Testament Christians even do this that I'm hearing? And the answer is no. And they certainly had instruments in the New Testament period upon which they could have instrumental music, but they did not do it because it was not authorized under the New Testament in worship to God for the New Testament church. One other thing before we move along, and that is that no one that I know of disagrees that the New Testament teaches that singing is right. All admit that singing is right. All admit that singing is a good thing to do. Where the division comes in is over the matter of instrumental music. And so the point is simply this, that when you read the New Testament passages, nine of them that mention singing, everybody agrees that singing is good and authorized. But when somebody tries to bring in something that is not in the New Testament, instruments of music, in worship to God, that's what is causing the division. We can all agree upon what's in the New Testament. What's not in the New Testament is what actually then causes division. Something to think about, not only about regarding instrumental music, but a host of other doctrines and practices and things that people do in the name of religion. We can agree upon what's in the New Testament. There will never be agreement and unity on things that man brings in to a church outside of the New Testament. So, why do we not have instruments of music in our worship service? It's not because we do not like it. That's not it. It's not because there's no one to play it. That's not it. It's not because we can't afford it. That's not it. It's not because our culture or Church of Christ tradition prohibits it. That's not it. It's not because other denominations do it and we don't want to be like that. That's not it. It's not because we simply want to provide an a cappella singing alternative to the religious community. Other people have instruments and we just want to provide something different. That's not it. It's because, friends, instruments of music are not commanded by Christ for his church. Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28:18. Colossians 3:17, we're to do right after that verse on singing. Paul says, whatever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by his authority. Jesus has not given authority for that in the worship service. Number two, instruments of music go beyond the doctrine or teaching of Christ. It adds to the word of God. And we're not to add to and go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. It makes worship vain and empty because it is something done without authority. And we're no different than the Pharisees that Jesus rebuked in Matthew 15:1-9 for having a vain and empty worship. Now, I said vain, empty. It sounds good. It's beautiful. It stirs the heart and the emotions and the mind. And when those sounds go into our ears, it's very beautiful to listen to. But it's still unauthorized, vain worship. Just because something sounds good doesn't make it right. It's not a part of true worship. We're to worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. It's not a part of true worship because there's no truth authorizing it. It's not a part of the truth of the apostles. In John 16:13, the apostles were guided into all truth, and Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and guide you into all the truth, and he will remind you of things that I've already said, and he will teach you new things. And there's nothing in the new things that the Spirit taught after Jesus left the earth. The Holy Spirit taught them new things. None of that involved instrumental music. Instrumental music is not walking by faith. when we hear the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You can't hear anything in the New Testament involving instruments in worship to God by New Testament Christians. You can't hear anything, so it's not by faith. Instruments of music create division. Jesus prayed that we would be united, John 17:20. And Paul pled that we would be united, that we would be of one mind and one judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10. But it creates division because it brings in something that is long after the New Testament period. We cannot accomplish what God wants done when we're playing an instrument. God wants singing. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and the other passages that we read. That's what God wants. He has expressed His mind through the apostles. He tells us what He wants. Sometimes people today say, well, I believe God would want this. Well, the only way you can know God wants something is if He speaks. And the only place He has spoken where it's recorded is the Scripture. Instruments of music were never used in the New Testament church. I would ask anybody listening to the program this morning to put a New Testament passage that authorizes mechanical instrument of music in worship to God in the church. What is the New Testament passage? Please contact us and let us know that. Many churches in this town use instruments of music. Where is the New Testament passage authorizing mechanical instruments of music in worship to God by the New Testament church? Please share that with us. You won't find it. And so, that's why no instruments of music. I could provide many quotes from church history and scholars this morning that show that instruments of music were introduced into worship by the Catholic Church somewhere between AD 600 and AD 800. I won't take time to do that this morning. That's too numerous and would take too much time. But that's what church history points out, that instruments of music were added centuries after the New Testament church. But we've lived for so many centuries this side of that, that people just expect that that's going to be the case, when in fact it was not found in the New Testament church in the first few centuries after that. Do we understand better now the instrument question and the issue? Friends, we sing because that is what God said He wanted. We refuse to play a mechanical instrument of music in worship to God because God never authorized it in the New Testament. I hope that that better helps you to understand why we do and do not have instruments of music, why we do sing and do not have instruments of music. We can unite, friends, upon what is in the New Testament. We can never unite upon what is not in the New Testament. Mechanical instruments of music in worship to God by Christians in the church is never found in the New Testament. So I would call upon all of us just simply to worship the way New Testament Christians did. If we can encourage you to do that, let's get together and study more these things or other things that might be on your mind. We're so glad that you joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.